Amen, Father. And now, in your time, bless your word to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, choristers. Congregation, please be seated. Happy Sabbath. Oh, that sounded pretty good. Let's try it one more time. Happy Sabbath. Oh, that sounded wonderful. Happy Sabbath to you on this beautiful day. Well, we're studying the book of Zechariah. This is one of the post-exilic prophets, that is, after the exile, coming out of Babylon. Only about 50,000 came out of Babylon. Most stayed there, unfortunately. Babylon had gotten into them, and so they decided to stay. But you can turn to Zechariah. Happiness is knowing where Zechariah is. Actually, if you go from Matthew backwards a couple books, you'll find the book of Zechariah. And we are in chapter 4 today. Our series is called Unfinished Business, and this sermon is called Not by Might. And going forward, they may have to click for me back there, possibly. All right. All right. If you folks could click for me back there, this clicker doesn't seem to be working. All right, Zechariah chapter 4. And we'll let them catch up with us here, but Zechariah chapter 4. We looked last time at Zechariah chapter 3, which was a picture of the high priest, Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord, and at his right hand was Satan to accuse him. Satan is the accuser, amen? He's also a liar and a murderer from the beginning, but in this particular trial, he didn't have to lie. Everything he was saying was true, and Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. But Christ stepped in between. Let's look at Zechariah 3 as they're catching up with us on the slides. Verse 2, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? And so Christ steps between the living and the dead. Christ becomes our Savior. Now Joshua, verse 3, was clothed with filthy garments. We noted that that was really filthy. These are the kind of garments that if you're in a medical office, you don't try to clean them, you throw those babies away. Even at home, we're talking about garments that are covered with blood or excrement. And so these are garments that you throw away. This is the picture of Joshua. And actually, he pictured the people. And actually, in a larger sense, it pictures all of us as we stand in ourselves. Our best righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen? But Christ takes that old garment off, that dirty garment off, and replaces it with his own spotless garment woven in the loom of heaven of righteousness. Amen? That's what we saw in Zechariah chapter 3. It was about how salvation is full and complete. Christ not only takes care of the guilt of sin, but also then, as we believe, he takes care of the power of sin, right? And one day soon, we believe, he will even take care of the very presence of sin. Amen? We long for that day. Zechariah chapter 4. And if I don't get slides, we'll just keep on rolling. Go with me to Zechariah 4, verse 1 and onward. I've got the King James Version this morning. It says this, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is awakened out of sleep. Remember, these are visions, eight visions given in one night. This is the fifth of eight. It actually forms a chiastic structure. If we get to slides, we'll look at it. If not, we'll look at it next time. But this is a very important vision of the eight, probably one or two of the most important. So he's awaked, as if awaked out of sleep. Verse 2, and he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold. Now, we know about the candlestick from the sanctuary, right? That's why we left these up. Several people, we had communion last week, and people were trying to take these away, and I'm like, no, don't, please leave them there. And Federico stood up for me, and so they're still here, right? So this is like the menorah, right? The seven-branch candlestick. This was an illustration, really, of Israel at one time. And then later, or today, it becomes now an illustration of the church. The seven-branch candlestick. In Revelation, we see Christ is walking among whom? Among the seven candlesticks, right? So that is an illustration of the church today. But this, what we're reading about, isn't just the menorah. Let's keep reading. It's not merely the menorah. Let's read on. There is a candlestick, all of gold, but in this case, it has a bowl on top of it. And I sort of think of this more as like a trough. If you're trying to picture it in your mind, not a round bowl, but maybe a trough that goes over all of them at the top. But it's not finished with that. There is this candlestick with a bowl on top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps. So there's these various pipes coming into this bowl that's on top of the lampstand. Verse 3, it's not done yet. And two olive trees by it, one on the right hand of the bowl and the other on the left. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? So try to get the picture. You've got a seven-branch candlestick with a bowl on top of it, and then there's these other pipes that are coming in on top of the bowl, and there's these two olive trees, one on the left and one on the right, that are feeding the whole thing. This is like this whole self-sustaining system, right? It's not like what had to happen in the temple where the priest had to go in and make sure that those were lit all the time. No, this is a system that's just continuing and continuing. So I hope you have sort of a picture of what it's talking about here. In verse 5 we read, but I want to read again. The angel that talked with me answered and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Now I think the reason that they keep asking, the angel keeps asking, have you ever had something that you knew that was like really exciting and someone asked you about it? It's like, oh, you don't know what that is? Oh, let me tell you about that. I think that's sort of the gist of what's going on here. We're going to skip verse 6 and go down to verse 11, because this continues on this description of this just amazing system, right, that's taking place with the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, and the bowl, and the pipes, and the olive trees. Seemingly self-sustaining system that's taking place here. Verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, what are the two olive trees at the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. What is oil a symbol of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about light. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And they all go together when you think about it, because who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And of course, that brings light to our souls. The Word of God, litten up by the Holy Spirit, brings us light. So he's asking again, what are these olive trees and what are these olive branches? Verse 13, and he answered me and said, you don't know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, we have an allusion to these olive trees in the New Testament. Do you know where it is? Revelation 11. I heard somebody say it. Turn there, Revelation 11. We'll be back in Zechariah, but turn with me to Revelation 11, because this is a clear reference to Zechariah chapter 4. Any slides yet? Nope. We'll just put that to the side. All right, Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1 and onward. I've got the King James, if you're wondering what I'm reading. And there was given unto me a reed unto like a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But don't worry about the outer court. That's for another time. But the court which is without of the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. Okay. Now, us biblical prophecy folk are already thinking in our minds. We know, right? 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months, all adds up to the same thing prophetically. Amen? 1,260 years, as we know it as the Dark Ages, 538 to 1798. This is the time period we are talking about. That's a good slide. Hold that one. We'll use that one in just a moment. And so goes on, verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy, and here it is, 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So there was witnessing going on in those 1,260 days, but it was as if it was clothed in sackcloth, as if it was sort of covered up, as if there was mourning going on. What was covered up during those 1,260 days? The Bible, right? The two witnesses, the Old and the New Testament. That's what was covered up. In fact, it seemed as if it was dead. But oh, friends, the Word of God lives and abides forever. Amen? Amen? And oh, did it come to life. This is especially applicable to the country of France during this time period, the late 1700s. But let's continue to read on. Verse 4 said, these are the two olive trees, just like we read Zechariah 4, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire will proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Jerusalem being seen as Egypt or Sodom. Verse 9, and they of the people and of the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days. So now we've got all three, right? We've got the 1260, the 42, and the 3.5 days. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. This is all talking about the word of God and how it almost seemed dead during that time of the dark ages. It was covered up. It was hidden. Pulp. The only way you could get a Bible is they were chained to pulpits, right? There was no open Bibles. There was no American Bible Society. That's coming, but it wasn't quite yet. Verse 10, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another. Ha, we're so glad the Bible's gone, they were saying in France. They made a legislative move saying, forget the Bible. Oh, but it didn't last, friends. The word of God lives and abideth forever. Amen? They sent gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. The Bible sometimes cuts, doesn't it? But it cuts only to heal, if we'll let it. Verse 11, and after 3.5 days, there it is, again, this 1260 period, we're talking about the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Come on and say amen if this is good news. A lot of prophetic stuff here, but we're talking about the word of God being restored and going forth. We live in this very time period, right? After the dark ages, this is us right now. This is the time, Acts 3:19. This is the time of the restoration of all things. Amen? God is restoring his Bible truth. He's building a temple, not a literal temple, right? He's building a temple with living stones, you and I, amen? That's the temple that he's finishing, which we'll read about again in the book of Zechariah. Well, that's probably enough from Revelation 11. Let's go back to Zechariah 4 and finish up there. Zechariah 4. Okay, we may have something happening here. Okay, you want to forward from that slide, if you could, please. We're back to Zechariah chapter 4. We read 1 through 5, and then we skipped to 11 through 14, as it says here. And if we can skip on from that slide, that would be great. But let us not skip any further past verse 6, which tells us so much. Oh, thank you. So that's kind of the illustration of this thing that is being described to us, right? You have the 7-branch candlestick, the menorah. You have this trough on top of it, and then you know, these branches are bringing oil into it, and it's just this system continuously supplying us with oil, amen? Continuing to supply the church with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have verse 6 of chapter 4, which, before I read it, I want to tell you a story. It's a fictitious story, but we can relate to elements of it, I think. Imagine a church had lots of money and wanted to grow. So they're like, what do we do? Let's make our church nicer, right? Let's give it a facelift. So they give it a facelift and they expect lots of people to come. Nothing happens. Well, you know, our music is pretty good, but could be a little bit better. Let's try to up the music and see if music, maybe that will do it. Music will bring the people. That didn't work either. You know, though, we're probably not advertising like we should. You know, we need to be on Twitter and TikTok and, you know, be doing short videos here and there. That's probably the answer. Let's try that. They try that. Still nothing. Well, you know, we really haven't had a lot of Bible workers, you know, just going out and going into the field. So let's take the whole Amazing Facts team, move them over to our church, and send them out. Still nothing. Well, hey, we need a powerful preacher to get this thing going. Let's hire Mark Finley. So Mark Finley, I love Mark Finley, by the way. That's why I use him as an illustration. So here comes Mark Finley. They still haven't prayed. They still don't have the Spirit. And so what do you think the results are? Nothing. Not by might, right? The might of many. Not by might, nor by power, the power of one great leader. Neither one of those things. But by my what? My Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's only through the Holy Spirit that churches grow. Amen? It's only through the Holy Spirit that we are here. Think about your story, right? How did you get here? How did I get here? It wasn't like I planned. You know, I think I'll stop doing drugs and turn to Jesus today. That's not the way it worked, right? Not at all. God is the one that brought you to where you're at. Amen? Think of any of the, if not your own story, think of any of the story of the people in the Bible. Do you think Saul all of a sudden decided, you know, let's change my name to Paul, and instead of me persecuting the people the way, I'm going to become one of them? No way, right? The Holy Spirit was guiding and moving and wooing to himself. Amen? And it is only the Spirit of God that will give us success in anything we do. All those things are good, by the way. Mark Finley, singing, TikTok. It's all, nothing wrong with any of those things, but it's got to be the Spirit of God working through them. Amen. That's the only way. We're going to have an evangelistic series. Carlos Munoz is coming in October. If we're not revived, shall we really expect God to bring us a large harvest? No, no. Our hearts need to be revived. We need the Holy Spirit moving upon us. Oh, and when that happens, mighty and powerful things will follow. We can move to the next slide if we can there. Verse 7 says this. Keep going forward. One more. One more forward if you can. Verse 7. Says this, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel was the administrative leader, right? He was sort of the leader of the whole program to rebuild. Joshua was the spiritual leader. Zerubbabel was the administrative leader. And God says, what mountain shall be before Zerubbabel? When God's Spirit is working, when God's people are working, there's nothing that can stop it. Amen? It goes forth unhindered. And so this is speaking about mountains. What art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone. It shall be finished. The sanctuary will be finished. The sanctuary will be cleansed. The temple will be finished. It will become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now, are there any mountains in your life? Anything that seems almost insurmountable, right? It's like, man, this thing is in my way. God said he can make that a plain. Amen? He can flatten that thing out with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, believe in him, friends. Trust in him. He may not take everything away. It may still be that thorn in the flesh, but he will give grace, grace to deal with it. Amen? And I think that's what the grace, grace is here, right? They realize as the temple is finally finished, this has been grace from beginning to end. It really wasn't us. Yes, we were used in the building, but it's God and his Holy Spirit that really caused the building to take place. We can forward the slide if possible. Verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Here, Zerubbabel is actually a type of Christ, right? The one who began a good work in you shall complete it. Amen? Never give up on Christ. He's never going to give up on you. It's not about your strength in holding his hand. Amen? He, like an elder brother, is holding you strong. Amen? Oh, you can pull out, but if you don't, he's going to bring you off more than conquer. Amen? Hold on to him. Allow the Holy Spirit to continue to show you how to abide in Christ on a daily basis. It's a process, friends. Sometimes we're too tough on ourselves. Sometimes we're too easy on ourselves. But hang in there. Christ will bring you off more than conquer. That's what it says. His hands shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Zechariah is a true prophet. We know it, and we'll know it even more as he continues his work. Verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. He's doing the last measurements, man, just to check if that baby's level. It is finished. The temple is finished. The sanctuary is cleansed. God's people are rescued from the enemies. This is the picture we get here. The plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, which are the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole earth. The day of small things. There it is. A little guy like David, no one's going to be able to use him. He's just a wee little guy, right? Oh, come on now. Jesus came from a place where they were wondering if any good thing could come from. Oh, don't despise the day of small things. Think of your baptism. That's no small things, friends. That's God leading you. How about the tract that you gave out? You may never know the impact, but don't discount the day of seemingly small things, amen? Amen? May seem small to you, but you don't know what's going on in heaven or what's going on in that person's heart. The encouragement you gave to a person, you don't know how far that might go, amen? You don't know. That person may leave, and yeah, they seemed a little lighter and a little more happy when they left than when they came. But you may not know, maybe that person was on the verge of committing suicide and you completely changed their life around. The day of small things also applies in the time of Zechariah and the time of Zerubbabel to the temple itself. Many looked at this temple, especially the older folk who had seen Solomon's temple, and they just shook their heads. And some of them cried and said, oh, this is terrible. This temple is nothing compared to Solomon's temple. They were right as far as aesthetic beauty, grandeur, the costly materials that went into it. But God says, do not despise the day of small things. This was a much smaller temple. It was not nearly as magnificent a temple, but this would be the temple where the desire of ages would come. Amen? This is the temple where Christ would go. He would turn, he would be given as a, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Anyway, he would turn over the tables here. This is the temple where the veil would be rent in two from top to bottom. This was an amazing thing that took place. Never despise the day of small things. Amen? What small thing could you do for the Lord today or this week? You know, you may not even really be cognizant of it, right? Because after a while, we just, you know, we try to bless people and stuff, and you don't even notice it. But God sees those small things as great things. Amen? The widow who gave her two mites, right? She gave more than all the wealthy people around, right? They gave out of their wealth. She gave out of her, just her living, right? The very thing that she needed just to live. So friends, go forth today realizing that the Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit is often seen as a small thing, right? We talk a lot about God the Father, a lot about Jesus, but maybe not as much about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will enlighten these pages, and we will have light. That's the picture, right? The menorah with all this going on. It's the Holy Spirit working through it all. It's light, right? This system of light. God's words give light, right? His word is a light unto our path. And the Holy Spirit is the one that wrote it. So be encouraged today, friends. Your small act may be made great with Jesus' Holy Spirit working through us. And day by day, we need to allow the Holy Spirit, right, to just work in us. It may seem like a small thing, and small victories are really big in the Lord's sight. Amen? Let's pray as we close. Oh, Father, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit. We're grateful that there is a continuous supply offered to us. There's no lack. We can always have the Spirit with us and in a full measure to be witnesses to others of your great salvation. So please, Lord, continue to work in us and through us to others. And may we not despise the day of small things, but may we day by day be drawing closer to you, our wonderful Savior and Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.